The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Like, you've been looking at it's a monthly, isn't it? Your news sheets. I know that today's topic is going shopping, so I am ready with my shopping bag. Marks and Spencer's. Actually, it's I'm pointing over there. It's a bit cold, so perhaps I won't actually go out shopping. I'll get them to do a delivery. Do Marks and Spencer's do a delivery?
No.
Well, anyway, I can have a look to see if I can choose something to wear for a wedding I'm going to next month. Why are we talking about shopping? Why have we got a whole morning focused on going shopping? No answers? No.
Shows what we do with our money.
It's what we do with our money. Well, it can do. Yeah, that's right. It'll show what we do with our money. But one of the reasons we're looking at going shopping is because in our series of living faithfully, we want to think about how we live faithfully. How are being faithful to who we're called to be as Christians? How we can do that in every aspect of our life. So as we said, one of the aspects of our lives is how we look after our money, and maybe going shopping for you is an issue about how you look after your money. Well, lots of people, I expect, will be out shopping this morning, even given the weather conditions. And that's often called the temples of today, isn't it? Everybody know what that is?
Yes, it's the design of religion. It's looking up.
It is.
Because I've taken the same one myself.
Yeah. So a lot of our shopping malls are as beautiful as some of our old cathedrals and old churches. By the way, has anybody here never ever been shopping? Okay, it's relevant for this then. That's fine. Have you ever been involved in anything like this?
No.
I'm just amazed how people can do that. Why? Why? When Keith and I were at Bible College in Northwood, just around the corner from the college, 100 yards the other way was the local Waitrose. And at a certain time of day, Waitrose would be full of students all around the bread and cake aisles, waiting for that sales assistant to come along with their little gun to mark down the bread and bread and cakes. We'd all be there queuing. You might have noticed in Tesco sometimes there's a queue of people gathering around the end of the vegetable aisle. I used to wonder what that was all about until I was there one day and this guy came along and he was putting out all this marked down vegetables and they were fighting for them to get it. Yeah. Oh, come on people, come on. It's a mindset, it's a way people live. Yeah, I've got a friend who used to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Next for their sales. And she'd come back to things that she don't even need or want. Oh, sorry. I wasn't talking about you. So, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus when it comes to shopping? How should that affect what we're doing? Well, I've done extensive research. I've read a few papers. Psychology Today, you'd be amazed at what psychologists study. There's a paper called The Science of Shopping. Did you know shopping was a science? The science of shopping. So I just want to take a few moments this morning to think about, in a positive way, what the Bible has to say about some of the issues that psychologists have recorded about shopping. Anybody know who this is?
Carl Lagerfeld, is that?
Yeah,
who is he?
Designer, photographer. Yeah. Yes, he's someone who's very influential in our world of shopping. He's one of the artistic directors of Chanel and many other fashion houses. For many of us, obviously not all of us, but for many of us, he's a faceless person. We've no idea who he was or who he is.
His face has been done anyhow. Absolutely. He's had an iron on it.
Yeah.
He can't do the eyes, so his neck's terrible, so he's got a high collar. Sorry.
Thank you, Dad. The point is, what he says affects a lot of things that we do, a lot of our behaviour is affected by what he says, whether we know him or not.
No.
We don't even think about it. We just don't think about it. You may not consciously make a decision, but you are influenced by people like him and others. Men and women who are dictating image, who are dictating colour and style. And the first thing that psychologists say about shopping is it's about an issue of image, it's about an issue of self-image. Any ladies here that are still sporting a hairdo from 30 years ago? Are you still wearing the same clothes?
Some of them are quite old.
Oh, that's responsible, isn't it? Why are there some things that we won't wear anymore or we won't do anymore?
Because they're not in fashion.
Because they're not in fashion. People tell us they look ridiculous. Why do they look ridiculous? Because people like this have decided the fashion's moved on. That we won't wear beehives, not that I ever did, because that was before my time. But, they tell us that, no, that's not fashionable now. And so if we wear things, if we do things that people like this tell us that are not fashionable, we feel a bit out of place and people wonder what's going on. Psychologists tell us that self-image and being made in an image or going towards an image is actually part of what it means to be human. So are you trying to find an image? Are you trying to make yourself look like something? Well, what does the Bible say? Here are some of the most well-known verses in the Bible about image. God said, Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Yet four times in these two verses, God says, let us make mankind in our image. You are a human being. Yeah? Mm-hmm. You are made in the image of the divine. Do I need to be made in Karl Lagerfeld's image or image of anything else? If I'm made in the image of the divine. The problem is, Karl Lagerfeld and his colleagues have louder voices, and that's the voices we listen to. We need to learn to listen to God. If we want to be, if we want to mirror the image of the divine, if we want to mirror the image of God, then I need to know him. I need to spend time with him. I need to listen to him. I need to go on adventures with him. If he's my best friend, then I won't be running after whatever the next best thing is, because I know that there is nothing or nobody better than my God. And that's why we encourage one another to spend time in God's presence. That's why we have soaking evenings, so that we can spend time in God's presence, getting to know who he is, so that our lives can reflect him, both in personality and what we say and how we're growing. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible, because it's God's word. That's where we hear his voice. We need to listen to him. We need to spend time in his presence. We need to go on adventures with him. The second thing psychologists tell us about shopping is it's about our sense of security. Do you know what this is?
It's not Sainsbury's, is it?
It's not Sainsbury's, no.
Mummy's tomb?
Yes. Somebody in particular? Thank you. It's Tutankhamun's burial chamber. Now the pharaohs, they had high status graves. They were buried with all their riches. Everything that, you know, just to show that they were important people, and actually they might need all this in the afterlife. Their status, their security was in their possessions, so much so that they had them buried with them so that they wouldn't lose out. What do we put our security in? What do we put our security in? Is it our houses? Is it our pensions? Our savings? Our investments? Our cars? There's nothing wrong with any of these. But what happens if our house burns down? What happens if the pension fund collapses? What happens if the bank fails? Or what happens if God says to us, sell your house, liquidize your assets, and give it all away? That actually might shine a light on where our security is. We shop, we accumulate, partly because it gives us a sense of knowing who we are in the world. It gives us a sense of control, a feeling of security. But Jesus said, see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. Why do we worry about clothes, about possessions, about what we have or what we don't have? See how the lilies in the fields blossom and grow. We can be secure in knowing that our God is in control. The question is, how well do we know our God? How well do we trust him? Our verse for the year is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. Lovely. Thank you. You need to learn that, because every week we'll be saying it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Actually, the joy of knowing the Lord is our strength. We don't have to rely on our own abilities, what we can eke out for ourselves. God wants us to trust him. But that means we need to know him better than we do now. You don't trust someone you don't know. And how do you get to know someone better? You spend time with them. You listen to what they have to say. You go on adventures with them. The third thing that psychologists have shown that shopping demonstrates is it gives us a sense of purpose. When Imogen was home over the, I was going to say the summer, but it was Christmas, home over Christmas, she decided that I needed help.
Could have told us.
Well, unlike you, she actually offered to help. My study is a little bit cluttered. Well, you can imagine, it's rather a small room. I've got a desk, a filing cabinet, a whole set of, a wall covered with shelves and drawers. I've got a bureau. I've got various art creations in various stages of completion. I never seem to finish them. I don't know why that is. And then there's various musical bits and pieces. There's an old guitar, there's an old recorder, and there's books all over the place. There's an old printer on the floor. And in fact, I'm sure there's lots of things in my study that I don't know are there because I've just kind of lost track of everything. But since Imogen has lived for 2 years with a group of girls who are tidy and clean freaks, you can imagine she's quite concerned about the state of my study. So she decided to help me declutter. So she got into my study, and all was going well for a while. She managed to put things into piles, and she actually put a few things away, which was really helpful. But I think she found it all too overwhelming, and she stopped. And so I still have these piles of things in my room, and I'm thinking, I don't know what to do with them, I thought she was going to declutter for me, but she's just moved it around. But she did give me a piece of advice. She said, "Mum, you need never, ever buy any more paper. You have paper of varying sizes for watercolour painting, paper for acrylic painting, paper for oil crayons, paper for airbrushing, tissue paper, decorative paper for decoupage, tracing paper, carbon paper." Anyone remember using carbon paper? Carbon paper. "Not to mention various colours of craft paper. You do not need to buy any more paper. So if you're doing any projects or anything, you want some paper, do come and have a look." You might have to sort of rummage through my study first, but the trouble is, I love buying and acquiring paper. Why? Why? Does it give me that sense of purpose? Because I'm a crafty person, so I need to have the paper so that I can do anything? I don't know, the jury's out on that one. Maybe it's stretching the point. Maybe I'm just, it's a self-discipline issue. But I hope you get the point. There's a difference between having the tools to do what God's asked you to do, or to do anything, and focusing on things that have no eternal value. Just to prove to yourself, and usually it is yourself you're proving things to, prove to yourself that you have a purpose in life. Maybe it's not your stash of paper that gives you a sense of purpose, but maybe there is something, or even someone, that you see as giving you a purpose, and without it you'd feel lost and disoriented. Your books, garden tools, I don't know, you fill in the blanks. What is it? Or is there something that you have that you'd be lost without, because it gives you a real sense of what you're about and who you are? Well, the truth is, as Christians, it's all about Jesus. Or in the words of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Or our purpose is to glorify, to worship, to enjoy him forever. If we only ever join in with other Christians for worship, or if we only ever worship when there's nothing better to do, then I suggest we have a problem with our understanding of who God is and our experience of him. New Year's Eve, this new year just gone, was a little bit different for us. Previously, we've hosted a party, it's been noisy and we've seen the new year in. Well, didn't feel that's what we needed to do this year. So New Year's Eve, there was just Keith, myself and Imogen at home. And we spent the evening playing some board games. Then at about 11:45, Imogen said, "Why don't we worship?" So we did. And we worshipped the new year in. And that was amazing. That was really amazing. Far better than having a messy house with lots of washing up to do. It was really good. We need to think about letting go of some of the material things that we hold tightly onto, because they give us a sense of purpose or a security or feed our self-worth or our image. The only way of letting go is to let God in. Get to know him better. Spend time with him, listen to him. Go on an adventure with him. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our security. The joy of the Lord is where we will find our purpose. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Paul says to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's as we contemplate the Lord's glory, as we put ourselves in his presence, as we worship him, as we look into his face, as we spend that time with him, that's when we're being transformed into his image. That's when all the other images that the world says we need to adopt just drift away. The only image that's important, that's of any use, is the image of God. And he has placed that in us. We all need to go shopping at some point. But let's keep it in perspective, because it won't do anything for our image. It won't provide us with lasting security. It won't secure our purpose in life. Why is that? Because we're made in the image of God. Let's find out more about what that image is so that we can reflect it. And Jesus has already bought our complete security with his death on the cross. So we don't need to worry about that. And we have a God-given eternal purpose that requires all our focus. So let's get to know our Heavenly Father better. Let's spend more time with him. Let's listen to him. And let's go on adventures with him. Let's pray. Lord, as we think about our walk and what it means to follow you, thank you that you have made us a people of creativity and you have given us all things to enjoy. But this morning, as we think about shopping and owning and ownership, we ask that you'd help us to live lives where we are not owners of our possessions, but rather we own them. Lord, we confess to you that so often we hold on. We pray by the power of your Spirit, transform us, that we may let go, that we might seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.